Welcome to Another Day Above Ground, a show for, by, and about baby boomers. It's the podcast for people who have no idea how to download a podcast. And now, here's your host, Dale Irvin.
It's another adventure into the wide world of being a baby boomer. Hey everybody, it's me, Dale, and I'm glad to join you for yet another episode of Another Day Above Ground. Of course, I'm not the only one joining you. I have two partners in this venture, so let me introduce them before we go any further. From the state of Indiana, the man we call the Aristotle of comedy, Mr. Tim Slagle.
As the controversy keeps going about characters behind brand names, it turns out that Hungry Jack has been carrying on an affair with Mr. Clean.
And what's the deal with that? You know, they're changing all those names. The Dixie Chicks took Dixie out of the name. What are Dixie Cups going to do? Just call them Cups? And Winn-Dixie. Winn-Dixie's thinking about changing her name. I think they should just replace the name Dixie with Trixie. Because that's a fun name. Trixie Cups. Winn-Trixie.
The Trixie Chicks. There you go.
The Trixie Chicks. I'd watch them. And the female voice you hear, of course, before we go further, coming to us from the Mile High City of Denver, Colorado, the beauty to our beasts. Please welcome Carolyn Strauss.
Can you hear me? I'm wearing a mask.
3,000 degrees outside and wearing a mask. It's fun, but I'm doing it for everybody else.
Which brings me to a point, our first point. What about mask wearing? I mean, so many people are, not so many, but people are against it, and I don't understand why.
I think anybody who's against wearing a mask, sorry, guys, I might annoy some people right now. Anybody's against wearing a mask when they go in for surgery, the doctors and nurses should have an option not to wear one as well. And you know what? Whatever happens, happens. We're not going to cover your wound. We're just going to leave it open, and whatever gets in there gets in there.
Actually, I can cite a study that plastic surgeons who don't wear masks have an identical infection rate to plastic surgeons who do wear masks. So there's actually evidence to indicate that masks and surgery are not... necessary.
But the mask is not supposed to protect you.
It's
at least in the COVID, in the COVID case, it's not meant to protect you. It's to protect other people from getting your spittle germs.
Yeah.
So I don't like
wearing a mask because now I know what my breath smells like.
I have been
very cruel to a lot of people.
Well, I just heard recently that the Israelis came up with a blow test that you can blow into a thing. Stop, Dale. That you can blow into a thing for 1 minute, and it can tell whether you have COVID or not. So if you can blow into a machine and it can tell if you have COVID, then clearly it lives in your breath. So wear a damn mask.
Wow. Is it like a vending machine where you put in a dollar and find out if you've got COVID and you're blowing in the same tube as the guy that did?
That's actually a really creepy idea. But a dollar instead of 2,000 for a test, that would be cool. I mean, I always thought, look, if I can pee on a stick and it can tell me whether I'm carrying a human, I should be able to pee on a stick to tell me whether I have a little teeny virus. Because a human's way bigger.
But actually, it's not in urine, though. There's no.
That's right, but it's in your breath, so wear a mask.
It's also, but it's in the other. From what I understand, that's why nursing homes and cruise ships are so vulnerable. There is what it's called fecal shedding. So you might, so you might actually, rather than pee on a stick, you might poo on a paper towel.
That's where the phrase came from, shit happens, because, you know, you got to get that done. But I like wearing a mask. I enjoy it because, you know, if you're in a store or something, you can actually, like, say stuff and nobody knows who's saying it. Hey, big butt! When they're looking around and going...
I'm actually finding it, I was finding it really upsetting at first. You know, now that I'm used to it, it's not so upsetting. But, like, people couldn't see me smile. And I was really upset about that. Now I just pretend to smile. And it's so much easier.
My nephew got a bunch of white masks and drew smiles on them or yes. tongues out on a couple of them. One he made for his girlfriend, big red lips on it. So, yeah, you can have fun with a mask. You know, it's not...
There's
it's
actually
the end
a
of the world.
There's actually a video out there of somebody who invented a mask that you could wear while you're eating, and it's got it opens up so you can stick the food in. And,
I think we saw that. Yeah it looked like a Muppet.
It makes you look like a monkey. You look like
crotchless panties.
That just opens up a whole big discussion.
Yes, it does. That's the point of them, Dale.
Those and what were the other ones that were out? The edible panties. That made a lot of sense. You know, what, if you're stuck in the woods, you can eat your shorts? No, I never really understood that at all. But the thing with that people are objecting to now is that it's kind of bloody hot. We're in the middle of the summer, and wearing a mask, you know, in the heat is not always good. But you know, heck, you got to do it.
Well, I don't know if you need to wear a mask when you're cutting the lawn.
No. They say if you're out and you're socially distanced and stuff, and I see people walking around the block all the time, and that's fine. But any other time, if you're close to people, inside of a store, absolutely. Inside your car, no, you look stupid. But, you know.
Do you think the baseball players, if baseball comes back, do you think the baseball players are going to end up wearing masks? I mean, don't the catchers wear masks already?
Yeah, but stuff can get right through there. Like, you know, you could eat a sandwich through a catcher's mask. But there's already, I think, 4 or 5 teams have reported players that have COVID-19. So, well, you know, they're going to have to be socially distanced on the bench in the dugout. They're going to have to, you know, be socially distanced in the shower. They were saying there's not going to be any more high fives after a home run and stuff. And
baseball will be like golf.
I actually think that it won't be a problem for Chicago teams because they rarely come within 6 feet of first base.
It's going to be a problem for the announcers. They got nobody to talk about in the stands. You know, they have the roving camera that picks up people. There ain't going to be anybody to talk to. You got to fill up that full 9 innings with baseball drivel.
Well, you can probably look at the fans through Zoom. You can probably have.
That's what I was just thinking. You can highlight the ones that are being really ridiculous.
Over there,
spitting peanut shells on their floors in their living rooms.
You think they're going to do it through Zoom? I just figured out that they would just put it on television. But if they did it through Zoom and you could actually see the other people, that'd be kind of fun.
Well, I mean, they can pretend they see other people. They could, you know.
We got a troop of Boy Scouts
on page 13 watching the game.
Who's going to bring me a $13 snow cone if I can't go to a game? I mean, colored ice for $13. I'm so sad to miss it.
It'll be back in the backyard in winter. Don't worry about it.
Right.
And it's free. But we got enough to worry about. We got viruses, we got heat, we got all kinds of stuff, but we're baby boomers, and we should be worrying about what comes next, what's coming up in our retirement. Because once you retire, you know, then it's a whole different world. So what we did is we got the author of the book called The Baby Boomer Bonding Book. It's a book about, apparently, alliteration. But Anne-Marie Cummings is on the show with us today, joining us from Toronto, Canada. She is the author of that book. And Anne-Marie, welcome to another day above ground.
Thank you very much.
Now, you're joining us. Tell me what the Baby Boomer Bonding book is.
So Baby Boomer Bonding is to help people who are about to retire or who have recently retired find some relevance after they've retired. So I personally spent 30 years in the technology industry and wasn't quite sure what I was going to do when I left. But I knew that I wanted to continue with something that would allow me to maintain some relevance. So I think that's what a lot of people find, that once they've left their career, you know, after a number of years, that they lose their relevance. And as you lose your relevance or feel you have lost your relevance, you start isolating yourself. And so I wanted to write a book to help people really find something important to do after they've retired.
And that, you know, that's true, because you go from being like, you know, the sales manager, the vice president, and then you retire, and the next day you're the guy taking out the garbage, and it's a, you know, it's a bit of a shock. So you got to have something to hold your interest. I know a lot of people turn to hobbies and other things, but you started flipping houses. I've always found that to be an interesting thing. I don't know how it works, but tell me about how you got into flipping houses.
You have to be really strong, because they're very heavy.
Most of them, yes.
Especially unless the large Lego ones, houses, that's true. You
know. I'm surprised you didn't jump in with an elephant joke earlier, Carolyn. You need to find your elephants.
So what exactly is flipping houses?
Well, so I have a really creative, I like decorating and designing things, and I like to make money, and so I decided that I wanted to get out of the technology industry, and I put my business hat on and my decorating hat on and thought, you know what, this is some, plus the at the time the real estate industry in Toronto was booming, so I thought this was a good way to use some of the elements of my, the things I like to do to get, help me get out of the technology business. So I took the last year of when I was in technology, I decided that I would take 1 year. I took a course in how to do the real estate flipping, and I started doing it. And I said to myself, if I could make enough money flipping houses to be able to leave my technology career, I would do that. And I gave myself 1 year to do it. So I was able to replace my technology income with real estate income in that year. So I flipped 3 houses in the first year that I was doing it.
So what do? You buy a house, and then what do? You paint it and decorate it and sell it?
Yeah, well, yes. And the 3 houses that I bought that first year were actually, I had to gut the whole house right back to the studs. So it was pretty extensive renovations, but it proved to be very lucrative and a lot of fun for me. It was a huge learning experience, and it allowed me to retire from the technology business.
You did all of that yourself?
Well, I hired contractors to do the work. And I never lived in the houses. They were purely investment properties. Although I have decorated and done a lot of my own houses that I lived in, these 3 particular ones were simply investment properties that I had contractors come in and do the work.
That's actually an incredible risk to actually gut, because the expense of that alone seems more like it would be more than a house.
Yeah, I mean, the fixer-uppers in Toronto are, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of $700 to $1 million. I mean, Toronto's a very expensive city, but it also, the prices were going up very quickly. So mm-hmm. a 6-month renovation, you could make, you know, 20 or 25% on your money. So it was, and I was still working, so I still had that income coming in that I could support myself with, you know, if anything happened to go wrong. But luckily, not much did go wrong.
Okay. Fixer ups are $1 million for homes that need to be fixed up.
Oh yeah, I mean Toronto's a very expensive city.
That's Canadian though, Dale.
that is true.
Okay, so you know a couple thousand. so you've made wait, Carolyn, yes.
Yeah, actually, Emery, I want to go back to your book for a second. What are the main 3 points in your book that you would tell our listeners about how to finish what they're doing and retire, if I'm getting that right?
The 3 main points. Well, I think the first thing is, you know, when you're doing, let's say you're a lawyer for 30 years. When you're not a lawyer anymore, you have to really think about what would make you happy. How do you maintain that relevance? Because when you leave that position, people are not looking at you the same way. And, you know, as you said earlier, now you're taking out the garbage. You're not doing things that are what you feel are really important. And your identity is tied to that. So the first thing I would do is try and find a different identity or something that really you're passionate about, so that you don't feel like retirement is just the end of time.
So step 1 is find a good therapist. Great. What's step 2?
Step 2 is, well, I would say step 2 is if you, like a lot of people who are retiring are not, they're not still not able to financially support themselves. So find a way to help you do that. And right now with everything that's going on with COVID, I'm and all the money that's going out from our government, I'm quite concerned that there won't be the pensions available for people. So find something that you like to do. And one example that I had, a gentleman staying at my house, he does some woodworking and couldn't figure out how he would monetize that. So I helped him through that. And now he's making quite a good living just doing the woodworking, which he loves to do. So point two is if you're financially challenged, then I would, you know, suggest you look at your passions and see if you can monetize them.
Lottery tickets. That's what I'm going with.
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
Don't always work that well.
Here's a hint too, is don't take up crochet as a hobby, because nobody wants anything crocheted.
Except a mask.
That's true. And then I think the third thing is, and one of the things that I'm working on and have purchased the two houses to do, and I talk about it in my book as well, is to find a community. So there's a lot of people living fairly isolated as they get older. So, and not that well off. So one of the things I've done, and I've done this with two different heritage mansions in Coburg, is created a community where people come together to live. They're not family, and they live in a house together. They have their own private space, the bedroom and sitting room and bathroom, but they also come together in the kitchen, dining room, and living room, and support each other.
So they have the Golden Girls.
Exactly like the Golden Girls.
Or grumpy old men, either one. How many people fit in a house?
It depends on the house. So the first house I have, it's a five-bedroom house. It's 5,600 square feet. The one I'm just finishing up now is a 11,000 square feet. So there's four in one, and there'll probably be eight or nine in the other.
11? What'd you do, buy a Kmart?
11,000 square feet.
Oh,
so
my gosh.
One of the reasons I moved outside of Toronto is some of the smaller communities have these beautiful heritage properties that have been left to, you know, they're not in their glory days. So I have bought both of these properties and renovated. One's completely renovated and filled, and the other one is under renovation and to be filled. And
so
you can get
people
them at a very
living there permanently? Like, do you move in and that's where you live until you aren't living anymore?
Yes, exactly. So now there's no nurses there. It's not an old age home or a nursing home. If you're physically capable of doing it, then you stay there. If you're not, then that's not the answer for you. So as an example, I have a 93-year-old who's completely healthy, perfectly able to live on her own, but her husband has, you know, passed away many years ago, and she doesn't want to burden her children, so she lives in the home with other people supporting each other,
making the smart remarks while the other women are having cheesecake.
Yeah.
it's like a fraternity house for old people. This is great.
Pretty much, yeah.
It's a commune or a kibbutz or whatever you want to call it. It's great.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely, I would say it's an old age fraternity, maybe. I'm not really sure what to say about that, but it's, I remember watching the movie The Best Exotic Marigold Hotel and thinking to myself, isn't that a cool idea? And that's how I came up with the idea. I just think it's really, I mean, I'm a single person myself. And I thought, you know what, I don't want to live out my days alone. And I really love being with my girlfriend. So we started talking about that as well. And
that's a great idea. How come just women? Just because you are and you feel that you know better?
Because we want the toilet seat down, Tim.
That's
seat needs to be down at times. Is why just women.
No, but I'm saying the same. Wouldn't men be into the same sort of thing?
It's not just women.
Oh, okay.
It happens to be just women in this house, but it's not just women.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's co-ed then.
It would be co-ed. The thing is, I'm a little challenged with that, because if you get only a couple of men and five women, you might be there might be some fights, but I'll have to see about that.
There's some very tired men. I don't know.
Yeah, really? Charge those guys extra with those odds. Holy Christmas.
It's not exclusive to women.
What would people pay to live there, roughly, unless you don't want to say that?
No, that's fine. It's $2,500 a month.
Oh.
And that covers everything. Well, that doesn't cover your food. You provide your own food, right?
That covers your accommodation.
accommodations. That's still a good price, you know, especially if Toronto's as high as you claim it is. And once again, that's Canadian money, so it's $180. But still, you know, sounds like a great deal. Now, you said you're looking to expand this idea.
Yes, I am. So once the second property in Cobourg is completed, I'm looking at Italy as one other location and the States.
Oh, wow.
In Italy, they're used to everybody living in the same house, you know, so that's got to be a good concept over there.
And there's no toilet seat to leave up.
That's right.
What are you calling this business?
It's called the Marigold Mansion.
Oh.
Marigold is the flower?
As the flower, yes.
Oh, wow. Okay. And have you thought about, you know, bringing in partners or you know, taking it public or doing this on a really big scale? Because it sounds to me like something that would be of interest to a lot of us old people.
All our listeners.
Yeah, definitely. And one of the reasons I want to go to Italy is they have a lot of these older buildings that they're selling for a dollar, as long as you, as the investor, will make, you know, invest a certain amount of money to fix up the building. So there's a lot of villages in Italy right now that are, you know, there's not many people in them because people are going to the big cities.
Right.
So, yes, I am looking to expand in other countries and looking for partners.
Are you thinking of making the residences for Italian residents, or is it going to be more of an expat idea?
It's more of an expat idea.
Oh, okay.
I would go live in Tuscany for $2,500 a month. I'm there.
I was just thinking, under the Tuscan marigold sun, man, I am in. I'm there.
Well, I spent that much on dinner in Italy.
Yeah, I spent 3 weeks in Puglia, spring, summer. It's fantastic.
I'm sorry, you're breaking up, Anne-Marie. You spent 3 weeks where?
In Puglia, which is in Italy, last spring and summer, and it was fantastic. So Tuscany has nothing on Puglia, and it's significantly less expensive. So buying accommodations there is, you know, it's a lot more.
And where is Puglia, if I can ask? Whereabouts in the country?
In the boot.
Yeah, in the heel of the boot.
The heel of the boot. Okay, yeah. Good.
And is there an age limit on your houses? Because I'm the more you're talking, the more interesting I'm getting.
I mean, my intention was 55 plus, but really it's as I said, there's a 93-year-old. She just turned 93 earlier in June, and she's fantastic. And she is... She's more spry than more 40-year-old. So I don't have an age limit. As long as your health is there and you don't need nursing or whatnot, then it's absolutely available.
Is there a waiting list for the Tuscany home? Because I think Carolyn wants to be at the top of it.
Put me at the top of the list. And as soon as it's ready, you call me.
Yeah, no, Italy is pretty fantastic. That's for sure. They know how to live.
Anything, plan on doing anything in the States?
I've thought about it. I just... I won't make any political comments, but not right now.
Like I said, I'm with you in Italy, darling.
Perfect.
And if you look at what's coming up, it's really going to be a little longer than not right now. Yeah. For a long time.
Yeah, it's interesting.
It certainly is. It certainly is. So what would you say to baby boomers? Okay, we got baby boomers are living alone. This is one option for them. What else can you say in order to change their lifestyle or their identity? Anything else?
You know, the one thing I think is people get old before they are old. And that's one of the things I stress a lot in the book about how to maintain your relevance and your confidence and stay, you know, out there doing things. I just think that people don't realize their value when they get older, and they don't provide the value to our younger generation because they don't think they have anything to offer.
our current culture, you know, doesn't really value old people. Not like, you know, the Asian culture does, or even Italy for that matter. You know, here when you get old, I said, I mean, it's gone so far where down here they were calling COVID-19 the boomer remover. And, you know, people just don't care about old people.
Well, and I think it starts with old people caring about old people. If you're maintaining your relevance and going out there and being in, rather than, you know, just sitting at home isolating yourself, I just think it takes two, right? You have to feel relevant and get out there and do things and continue to do things and show the world that you have value. I mean, you can't expect a 25-year-old to see an 85-year-old as valuable if the 85-year-old doesn't see themselves as valuable.
So we need to start wearing T-shirts that say "Old Lives Matter."
Exactly.
Okay. All right. We'll make it in real big type so they can see it.
Exactly.
Well, Emery, this has been very very interesting. I love the concept of all of us boomers living together. I think if you could make a whole, I mean, Jimmy Buffett's already doing that with his Margaritaville retirement village, but you really gotta like the music, otherwise you could be living in hell. But but if you could do this, you know, where we could actually have, like, especially in Italy, come up with a senior settlement. And that would be very cool.
Yeah, yeah. It's just a matter of time.
Well, Mary, Anne-Marie, thank you so very much for joining us here on Another Day Above Ground. How's the weather in Toronto today?
It's about 30 degrees, which that's about 87 degrees.
Yeah, 87 Fahrenheit.
There's that exchange rate again.
Yeah, exactly. It's always a little higher. Well, best of luck to you, flipping houses. Best of luck with the Marigold Project. And if anybody wanted to get in touch with you regarding this project, how would they reach you?
They could reach me either through the babyboomerbondingbook.com or AnneMarieCummingsEvents.com.
Anne Marie Cummings, A-N-N-E, Marie, M-A-R-I-E, Cummings, C-U-M-M-I-N-G-S, events.com, correct?
Correct, that's correct.
Thank you very much, and in your honor, after I hang up here, I'm going to have a Molson's.
Oh, that's awesome. Good for you.
All right, thank you,
Anne Marie. Thanks so much for having me.
You betcha. Our thanks again to Anne Marie Cummings for her ideas on how to better our retirement. And we get in line behind me and Carolyn for those villas in Italy, because that's the best deal I've ever heard. $2,500 a month, live in southern Italy. That'll work.
Now, she didn't say that one's going to be $2,500 a month.
Yeah, but I'm holding her to it. She said it, I'm holding her to it.
$25 Canadian. That's
wow,
about 50 euros in Italy.
Deal.
Yeah, yeah. So we thank her for that, and we thank all of you for joining us here on Another Day Above Ground. Before we sign off, Tim, anything to say to the fine folks?
Hey, yeah, I'm going to be doing a live podcast August 5th. Check out the Rule of Three Facebook page.
Cool. So, all right, you'll learn how to do that, and then possibly we can do it in the future.
Yes.
All right. Tim is our technical expert. So as soon as he figures out how to do a live podcast. So when is that? August 6th?
August 5th. Wednesday, August 5th.
And you've also, I saw on Facebook, you got the Crash and Burn coming back again.
Yeah, that'll be coming up in September. But right now, I just want to promote it'll be live on stage, Brent Washburn and I, and we'll do it in front of an audience. And we'll also be doing it on Zoom. So
very cool. Very
check.
Cool. We look forward to seeing that. Carolyn, how about you? Are you doing anything on Zoom?
I am Zooming around the world. Yes, that is what I am doing. No, I'm making reservations to go to the pool at my gym. You can go to the pool at the gym now, but you have to make a reservation. So, I used to make reservations to go to nice fancy restaurants. Now I'm making a reservation to be seen in a bathing suit. It's not pretty, but I got to do what I got to do.
I stay in a lot of hotels, and when I look at that swimming pool full of little kids, I have reservations, let me tell you.
Oh, yeah. The pee to chlorine ratio is over the top. Yeah, you just can't get it out of there. And I'd like to remind people to go to daleurban.com and sign up for the Friday Funnies so that I can make you laugh via video and the written word every single Friday. It's free, it's fun, and it's for all baby boomers. That being said, go out and celebrate the rest of this day because it is another day above ground.
And that's it for another day above ground. For Dale, Tim, and Carolyn, I'm Farad Muhammad. Thanks for listening.